this is your first time at Journey Church, or maybe this is your first time back to church in a while, I'm here to let you know that that you're not going to get beat up, you're going to get built up. That's the mission. That's the you can feel the rippling effects of encouragement in this place. You know, we gather in America and around the world in places like this, in buildings like this, to acknowledge that there is a center of the universe and we're not it. I mean, this morning we gather here at this place of worship, to acknowledge that there is a throne in heaven and we are not on it. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand today. Come on, he is on the throne. super cool. I've got a picture here I want to put up on the screen. I call this collage, A Party in the Peach Tree. This is my 3-year-old granddaughter, Eden Grace. And I tell you what, if you're a grandparent, you know that you're a blessed person. And I call this picture here, A Party in the Peach Tree. This is her. We have been waiting for a year, Eden Grace and I have been waiting for a year for this moment right here. And she has just bitten into this peach that we, this next picture, that we planted, that we waited on. She picked it. And then Grandma, Nana, she calls her Nana Pants. Come on. Nana Pants makes this pie. We waited a year, and from the seed to the tree, I mean, it didn't go seed tree, but we waited a year for her to be able to pluck this first peach off, 3 years old. And I want to talk to you today about that. If you have your scripture this morning, or it's going to be on the screen, I'm sure, I just want to make it real simple today at Journey 7, talking a message entitled, Stir It, Stack It, Settle It. And we're looking at Luke, the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 13, verse 6 says it this way. He also spoke this parable, Jesus did. A certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it. Before we go on, I want to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, where another vineyard was planted, and it says that God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb and yield its seed and fruit tree and yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and so it was so. Let's pray. God, we really do thank you for this gathering, this community of faith, of hope and love. I thank you for vision in this place. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that sits here today, every family. God, I thank you for the fruit that you want to bring forth from us. In Christ's name, amen. I mean, after God was done creating everything on the earth, he blessed the earth with two words. He said this, he said, you can say it with me, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Let's say, be fruitful and multiply. I think that is the only commandment that we as a human race have obeyed. We have been fruitful and multiplied. Let's get up for babies, come on. We're pretty good, man. We have obeyed that commandment. You know, but the bottom line is, it's just going to go right to it, that God wants us, from day one, he's wanted us to bear fruit. He's wanted us to multiply. He wants you and I to multiply in the gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all these things. He wants us to multiply fruit in our life. Another way of saying it is this way, that God has given us all potential. Potential is our gift that God has given us. Here you go, you know this, fill in the blank. What we do with that potential is our gift back to God. Let's say we want to give it up to him today. Come on, we want to give it up. Our potential, we want to give it back to him. So to really appreciate this parable of the fig tree, we have to have this backdrop of Genesis 1:11 that says, be fruitful and multiply. Of course he did. He's been looking for fruit since day 6 from us. That's what God is looking at and looking for from us. God loves you just the way you are. Can you say amen to that? But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. So there's got to be growth. There's got to be something other than what you see today. And that's why it's with you and God. See, there's a great mixture going on. You plus God equals fruit in your life. So let's go back to Luke chapter 13, verse 7 through 9. He said, so he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've been seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Verse 8. But I like this guy's response back. He says, sir, let it alone for a year until I dig it around and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, that's awesome. But if not, after 3 years, you can cut it down. Can I keep it real simple today? Stir it, stack it, settle it. Stir it up. I love this illustration about stirring it up. Sir, let it alone until I dig it around. In other words, what this vineyard keeper is saying, let me dig up the soil, let me turn it up, let me till it, let me stir it. You know, after planting this fig tree, it takes about 3 years for any fruit to come off of a fig tree. And he says, let me just take a moment and stir up the soil a little bit. Man, I love Missouri dirt, Brenda. Can we take this back with us? Well, you guys have no idea what we're dealing with in Arizona. I'm talking when they say the new river, you know what? It's not a river, it's sand. So I'm loving this dirt right here. He says, let me stir it up. Let me dig it up. Let me till it a little bit. You know, God wants you and I to do the groundwork in our life. He wants us to do some groundwork in our life. We just don't live and let it lay there. We have to do some groundwork. There is some work. So if you do the groundwork in your life, guess what? God is going to produce fruit in your life. That's the way he made you. That is the way he made us. That's the way he made the earth. We do the groundwork, then fruit comes from us. You know, science tells us that we are 98% water and 2% dirt. Turn to someone and say, man, you're an awesome dirt bag. Would you do that? No, seriously, do that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says it this way, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And that's really where God comes in for us, see? So if we're 2% dirt, 98% water, the scripture tells us that God reached down into the ground and he formed man out of the dust of the earth. And he breathed breath into man, and he became a living soul. How many believe the Bible when it says what it says? It says what it says, and we need to understand what it says? I mean, I can just see that, you know, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation into this pile of dirt. And he breathed life into it, and it became a living soul. So my question is to myself is, am I exhaling what God has inhaled in me? Is something coming, what's coming out of me, is it what because of what God has put into me? All of us have this desire to breathe out what God has breathed into us. Take a deep breath right now and say, thank you, Jesus, for breath. Let us breathe out life to this community. Isn't it funny? If God says he out of the dust of the earth, he formed man, and then he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. If we are really made from dust, I think the scripture says, from dust we came, from dust we will return. And so in the middle of that, we have breath, we have life, we're a living soul. Isn't it amazing what we do with our dirt? I mean, we wash our dirt. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? This morning I put deodorant on my dirt, thank God. I used to comb my dirt, but I've even been in a tanning booth to tan my dirt. Isn't it amazing what we do with our dirt to kind of fix up our dirt? And while we have been formed out of the dirt, many of us don't like to deal with dirty stuff. I mean, we live in a culture that turns its back on dirty situations. We live in a culture that, you know, it would be like somebody's in a dirty situation. We're like, well, good luck with that. We'll pray for you. I often wondered why God didn't make us out of something a little bit nicer. How about the stuff that the streets of heaven are made of? How about if God would have made us out of gold? How about if God would have made us out of diamonds? How about platinum? How about pizza? Come on, how about pizza? He didn't make us out of that kind of stuff because really, dirt is the only environment where a seed can grow. So if you're in a dirty situation right now, guess what? You're made out of dirt. If things don't look really clean and nice right now, guess what? That's a great place for the seed to be planted because that's the environment that God has us in. God made us out of dirt. That's an illustration of how our life is lived every day. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says it this way. It says, therefore, Paul says, I want to remind you to stir up the gift. Stir it up. Dig it. Turn it. Toil in it. Do some groundwork in it. I want to give you a little insight here that we need to stir up the gift that's with where? In us. There's something in you. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 tells us it this way. He says, we have this treasure in what? Jars of clay, in earthen vessels. Inside one of us, every one of us, there has been given a gift. And God tells us today to stir up that gift. Look in the soil, till it, dig it up, stir it around, and see if you can't nourish this dirt and find that gift that's within each of us. You know what? Life, really, I found out the first, I don't know, I guess 50 years of my life, I know I don't look past 50, but come on, give me a little bit of help here. The first 50 years of my life, it really was about me building the container of my life, building my title, building who I'm making me substantial. The first, you know, I went to school, I learned, I did all this to build, let's just put it this way, to build the container of my life. But life is not just about your container. Life is about the contents in the container. Come on, let's hear it for the Lord right there. It's about finding out what's in you. It's not just about building up the container. It's not just about building up the outside. God says, stir up the gift that is in you. Dig it. I love what the King James says in this next part here about, and I'm just going to call it stack it. Stack it. The scripture says, sir, leave it alone for a year. Let me dig around it, and then let me fertilize it. The King James Version says, let me dung it. The NIV says, let me put fertilizer on it. The NLT says, let me put manure on it. They're all synonyms saying the same thing. Sometimes it takes a lot of good crap to make good soil. Come on, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. You knew that somehow today that it was going to get real. Stuff in life sometimes stinks, doesn't it? How many in this room know that manure happens? I said it kindly. That's the Christian way of saying it. Manure happens. Turn to your neighbor and says, manure has happened to me. Man, I love the King James Version. Throw dung on it. You know, before the advent of the horseless carriage, the primary mode of transportation was horses. Horses have exhaust pipes too. Not just for gas and fumes. The average horse produces about 15 to 30 pounds of manure every day. And in New York City in the 1900s, turn of the century, there were 150,000 horses in New York City. You do the math. 3 million pounds of manure, of crap, every year. In 1894, the Times of London said that by 1950, the streets of London would be covered up by 9 feet of horse manure. How many are glad you came to church this morning? How many are glad you came to church this morning in a horseless carriage? So it brings this up within me. Unless you, if you grew up on a farm, you know what I'm talking about. But if you didn't grow up on a farm, you never lost any sleep about manure or crap or fertilizer. I mean, I'm thinking that if I don't know a thing about a thing, something as noxious as horse manure is not going to help things to grow. Something as smelly and as really repugnant as horse manure or cow manure or fertilizer. To me, I think if you're going to put that stuff on something, it's not going to grow, it's going to die. I'm thinking in the natural. But isn't it interesting what God does? Isn't it interesting how God wires things? He'll take the manure of the farm and use it to grow crops. And the same is true, I think, with our life, that God will take the crap of our life and he'll use it as fertilizer for your future. He'll take that stuff that used to, I'm talking about the bad decisions. I'm talking about the wrong. I'm talking about the bad deeds, the bad days, and the bad debts. God will take that stuff and use it as fertilizer, and he'll make that into your future. He'll use it for your good. Can we give it up for good crap? God will take the crap of your life, and he'll use it as fertilizer for your future. Here's the point. He'll take the things. He'll take the stuff that you thought was tanking your life. He'll take the stuff that you thought was going to ruin your life. He'll take the stuff that looks like it's just terrible. You said that, like, you'd be like, God, if I were you, I wouldn't do it this way. But God knows what he's doing. He's taken the stuff that's given you reversals in your life. He's taken the stuff that's giving you bad days in your life, and he'll flip it for the good. For what people meant for bad, God turned it around, and it was meant for good. I love the parable of the soils, don't you? You remember the four soils? The sower went out to sow some seed, and some seed fell on the hard ground, some seed fell on the trampled ground, and some seed fell on the thorny ground, but some seed fell on the good ground. How many know there's some good ground at Journey Church this morning? Come on. There's some good stuff that is here today. And when the seed falls on the good ground, it comes forth as 100-fold. I don't mean to be crude here, but your crop comes from your crap. Some of you people, but I'm telling you what, it's the dark times in my life that God turned into the good times in my life. It's the times that I felt like a tornado was coming through my life that God dug up. He stirred up. He mixed up my life. And so that soil inside was getting loosened inside of me so that seed could be. He was building some good soil through what I thought was really a crappy time in my life. You see, this thing called faith, a little bit of faith, takes your failures and make it into fertilizer. Settle it. Stir it. Stack it. Settle it. For some in this room, it might be one of those things that you think that the deadline's passed. You might think that man, it's just taken too long. You might think that it took us 2 years to get into this building. When is this going to take place? You know, when is this business going to kick off? When is this marriage going to, when are these kids, when is this dream going to start to work? And sometimes your dream needs more time even when you think you're in overtime and there is no more time. You know, maybe you just need to sit for a little bit. Maybe you just need to soak for a little bit. Maybe you need to sit there in your dirt where the seed can't even see what's going on. But maybe it's time just to sit there and let God do his part and not do your part. Maybe it's time to stop changing your dirt. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I don't see anything happen, I want to take the seed, the roots out of my dirt and put it in some good dirt. You know, the grass is greener over their dirt. I want to put it into the someday, some way that dirt, or back in the good old day dirt, or someone else's dirt, because something's happening over there. It's not happening right here, right now. Maybe it's time just to settle it and wait and give it some time, even though you feel like you're in overtime. To let that seed and let that root and let that dirt and let that fruit work. I think for me the challenge is, guys, setting my timetable according to his timetable. Because he's a good father, he's a good farmer, and he knows when the fruit is ready to be plucked off. not before. A lot of our problem is our own impatience. Come on. I'm telling you what, man, we pulled the tree out of the dirt just when it was about ready to get some fruit. Maybe it's time to keep the tree in your own dirt. God put it in there for a reason, and it's His timetable. It's His timetable. I know how to stir it, and believe me, I know how to stack it, because at least I'm doing something. But I have a hard time settling it. I have a hard time waiting for it. I know you guys are holy and everything, and you got that all figured out. But I got a hard time when I'm not doing anything. I have a hard time when I'm not able to dig into it. Give me a shovel. Give me something. I got to do something with this time of mine, with this life of mine. And I'm sitting there waiting on it. I'm like, will you hurry up? And it's tempting to pull my roots out of my dirt and move on to some new dirt. Maybe you just need to stay in your dirt. You know, we live in a society that wants it now. I want to say thanks, Journey, for putting us over at the Comfort Inn. Man, that place is beautiful over there. Was it the Comfort Inn we stayed? Oh, I made a mistake. The Super 8, right? Sorry, Super 8. You know that the Super 8 where we stayed last night is where Journey Church was really kind of conceived? That was where the first interest meeting was, and I went past that little room today and got my cinnamon roll. Been having way too many cinnamon rolls lately, but I got my cinnamon roll, and I just say thank God for that interest meeting in that room, and I put my cinnamon roll and Brenda's cinnamon roll in the microwave. You know why? Because I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait for someone to get the dough and the cinnamon and put it in there. I want my cinnamon roll right. You know, we live in a world that wants it now. Don't we? I mean, it's our culture. We got to have it now. We want to pick it before we water it and wait on it, don't we? We want to buy it before we can afford it. Oh, I know I'm not talking to anybody right there. We want to sleep with it before we put a ring on it. Oh, man, I better get back here where it's safe. You know why they have a pulpit? So you can hide behind it. Sometimes it just takes settling in your dirt, waiting for God. I tell you what, the farmer doesn't sit there and force, you know, like some microwave thing on the seed. I know we're trying to do everything we can in our culture to get stuff to grow fast, but God's timetable is the perfect timetable for you. Settle it in your heart. Settle it in your life. Let the roots grow. Why? Because your fruit is a direct result from your root. It's in there. It's something's growing. Something's happening.
That's right.
Sir, let it alone also this year. Give it some time. Scripture says Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the... He gave the increase. Yeah, He did. So our challenge is this. Will your seed survive the soil, the dark times, when you can't see the purpose, when you can't see what's going on? I'll tell you what, the dirt and it being in the soil, it's a real weird place, isn't it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're in there, you can't see what's going on, you don't know what's going on, and you're like, God, what are you doing in my life? But I'll tell you, if you can endure the dirt, if your roots can endure the dirt, wait a little bit. Let the fruit come out. God will fulfill His promise. This is where most of my dreams die, in the dirt, in the darkness. This is where most relationships tank, in the dirt. This is where most ministries crash and burn, in the dirt. This is where most marriages turn into mirages, in the dirt. This is where most good intentions turn into apathy and fall asleep. It's where you feel like your dreams are buried deep down in the dirt. What a strange place to be. Sir, let it alone. Just let it sit there. I'm telling you today, you guys have pushed for a long time. You know, when you started this dream, I remember walking around this building a couple years ago when it was an abandoned bowling alley. It looked like a mess. It just looked, I was looking at these guys, I'm like, are you kidding me? We can do wave a wand and this thing's going to be like this? It took 2 years to get to this place right here. And so you've made a big push. Maybe next Sunday, when this man gets up to talk for that man, maybe we need to let that word settle and soak into us for a little bit and let God breathe on it, let God water it, let God bring some growth to it, and who knows what in the world is going to, you know what, who knows what in the world is going to happen to your family because you're just waiting on God. You're settling in. You're not rushing the process. You're not changing your dirt. You're not getting out of the bucket. You're staying in there and letting God do his work in you. I love the phrase my pastor used to say. He said, you know, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. I think I'm talking to some seeds here today. There's a lot of stuff and growth that God has in your future you can't count right now. Jesus said it this way. The same Jesus that talked about the parable of the fig tree, he said, I've been looking for fruit on this tree for 3 years. I find none. Cut it down. What use is it taking up the soil? And the keeper of the vineyard, the pastor of the vineyard, said this, sir, let it alone for a year. Let me dig around it. Let me let some crap happen to it and see if it bears fruit. That same Jesus that told that parable tells another parable. It's a real life parable. And he's not talking about a fig tree this time. He's talking about a tree called the cross. And he says that unless a seed is buried in the ground and die, it will not bring forth fruit. But if that seed goes into the ground and dies, it will come forth and bring much fruit. He's talking about his own death here in a little bit. He's saying to his disciples, hey guys, I'm going to go into the ground for a little bit, but guess what? In 3 days, I'm going to come back, and it's not going to be 11 disciples plus Paul. It's going to be 2.1 billion people on the earth. Let's give it up for Jesus that said there's fruit, and you're part of that. You're part of that. See, the tree of Christ proves that fruit comes from good root and a good soil. I want to encourage you to stir it up. What's in you today? What gift is in you? See, everybody's been given a gift in this room. Some of you have been given some like public gifts. Some of you have been given some very talented gifts. Some of you have kind of behind the scenes gifts. Then those gifts, man, without those gifts, we're toast. We're in deep weeds. We need everybody to stir up the gift. Don't sit there. Don't let that thing die. Don't let that seed stir it up. Yes, if you've had some crap in your life, if you feel like your life has been in the crapper, guess what? Use it for fertilizer. And God will take that seed and he'll use it for his glory. Guess what, Journey Church? Maybe it's time to party in your peach tree. Yeah, what's your peach tree look like? I'm looking at some amazing peaches, a bunch of fruits here today. Come on. Come on, it's time to party in your peach tree, man. I'm telling you what, I'm looking at, so I'd like to, man, you know when that fruit's just ready? Come on, it's just, oh, it's ready to go. Plug it up. I don't even wash that stuff. I take it right off the tree, and I eat that stuff. Why? Fruit is given for the good of all of us. It's given for all the good. When fruit is in your life, guess what? I benefit from it. Amen. When fruit is in our life, we all benefit from it. I got just one closing thought. You know, besides thank you for letting us be here to celebrate. If you, and I know that in a room this size, some of you are looking up here and you're going, how can he tell me what to do? Don't you tell me what to do. I know, because I've been there. But I will tell you this. We have that feeling a lot of times We're buried in the dirt. We can't seem to get out. And I want to tell you this. There's not one person in this room hasn't been buried in darkness in the dirt. Everybody in this room is going through something or has been through something. That's why we need to give everybody in this room a whole lot of grace. I'm not kidding you. Somebody dragged you to church this morning. Your wife said, "Honey," and you knew what was coming. You're like, "Dude, I got my fishing gear ready. I'm ready to do something else besides go to church. Babe, would you, honey, mama said to you, you need to get up and go to church." Somebody said, a friend called you last night, text you, "Hey man, you going to Journey tomorrow?" Church, 9 o'clock in the morning? Seriously? Dudes, I've been up at 4 a.m. in the morning ready to go fishing. Come on, I know you can do this. You're not suffering, but I'll tell you this. That thing that rises up within us is because we're hurting somewhere. Something has hurt us. Someone has hurt us. Something has happened. We feel like God's been unfair to us. And that's okay. That's all right. He's got you in the dirt for a reason. Because he wants you to know how good it feels to celebrate when he pulls you up. I think Psalms tells us this way. He says it this way, that he picked me up out of the miry clay and he put my feet on the rock to stay. Why does God have us in the dirt sometimes? Because to have us, give us that feeling of how good it is to get outside the dirt. Let's give it up for the Lord Jesus. He'll pluck you up out of the miry clay. Maybe it's time to party in the peach tree. I know that you guys like to celebrate. We're going to have a barbecue here in a little bit. But man, let's stand together. I think those guys in the back have a song appropriate to this. It's time to party in the peach tree. Let's give God praise right now. Let's give a hand clap of praise for fruit in this place this morning. You know, I don't really know who Justin Timberlake is. Talk to me about the Allman Brothers Band and the Eagles. I can tell you anything about those guys. But this is a Justin Timberlake song. Let's give it up for the new generation that's going to raise fruit in this place. Come on. Come on, man. I'm telling you what. The young people in this church, God bless you. Let's give praise today to the Lord. Would you turn to someone and say, "Man, something good is going to come out of your dirt. Something good going to come out of your dirt." God, I just want to say thanks today for an amazing, amazing vineyard here today. Thank you for every person in this place, and thank you for every gift that you have within every person in this house. I want to say thank you that we're going to benefit from all of this, not just us in this room, but those outside this community, because we're bearing fruit. They are going to be the recipients of it in Jesus' name. And we take all of our fruit and we give it back to you anyway, God, so you can plant more seed in our life in Christ's name. Amen. Let's give God praise. God bless you, Pastor Jesse. So just dance.